Everybody likes guns. They just don't know it. Deep inside of his soul, there's a cowboy trying to get out.
Welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content and word pronunciation is simply the opinion of the hosts and their guests.
Hello and welcome to New Shooter Canada, episode 93. I'm one of your hosts, Mike Histon, and tonight with me, I have George.
Hello, everyone.
And Kelly.
Hello.
So, George, what did you do this week in guns?
For a change, I did something. And I did a lot of something. I went shooting Saturday and Sunday. Saturday, I went out with my dad to sight in his Mosin at 100 yards. Because our club now has gongs at 100 and 200 yards. So we decided to ring the gong.
How'd that go?
But I'm getting that. We had to buy special ammo because the Mosin generally runs surplus ammo, right? Steel core. Mm-hmm. Yep. So we went out and bought lead core bullets and all that, got it plated in. And first shot, my dad and I were kind of back and forth. No, you take it. So I'm like, fine, I'll take it. Pulled the trigger, ding, and it dropped to the ground.
Oops.
It was one of the bolts had already been sheared off, and apparently the Mosin was enough to shear the second bolt off, too. Oops. So we kind of looked at each other, and my dad goes, well, you hit it. I'm like, oh, I hit it. No doubt about that. So then once everyone was ready to go down range, we went down range, and we were able to rehang it on the kind of the what was left of the bolt. And then he took a shot at it, and same thing, knocked it off on his shot.
How is your steel hung there for the rifle range?
At first it was hung with chain, and now they've got like a rubber mat or some really thick piece of rubber that they bolted the gong to.
Okay, so they just like cut a hole through the rubber and ran the bolt through it kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's how my range did it, but we use old fire truck hose.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so the, of course, I emailed the board of directors. I'm like, do we have more bolts? Because this needs to get rehung. And a couple of the directors were there within a couple hours, and it was already rehung. And so that was cool. So that's what I did Saturday. And then Sunday, Wanda wanted to take her new gun out. And for anyone that missed last week's show, Wanda won a USCON 46. Pump action, very tactical looking shotgun, 12 gauge. So she wanted to take that out. And so we did, and we ran 25 rounds through it. Now, we ran 25 plus rounds of Winchester the day of the charity shoot, and it was sticking and jamming, and oh, it was miserable. But we got Blue Box Federal trap loads. And I just kept saying, every time I pounded off five rounds, I'm like, ooh, just like butter. No hang-ups, no sticks, no jams, no nothing. It was awesome.
That's good.
So you worked it in. That's good.
Yeah, so I don't know if it was just the Winchester. Somebody had mentioned it might be the steel around the casings of the Winchester that was causing it to jam up. I don't know what the case was. Mm-hmm. But the Federal, it ran flawlessly. Of course, I was hoping trap was shooting, so I was hoping to go shoot around the trap, but by the time we finished playing around with it, it was the trap guys were done. So, and we set it in my 22 at 100 yards and start pinging away at the gong again. So
that's good.
That's what I did.
How was your accuracy at 100 yards? Like how big was the gong actually?
You could barely hear it with a 22.
Okay.
And it barely moved.
How big was it? Was it like an 8-inch or?
Yeah, 8-inch circle.
Yeah. And were you consistently hitting it with the 22?
Can I say yes?
You can say whatever you'd like.
I haven't cleaned my Marlin Actually, I don't think I've ever cleaned my Marlin since I bought it off of Thomas a year ago. So the accuracy left a lot to be desired, but
okay. But you still hit it.
It was, yeah, I was still, I was hitting it probably every other time.
Okay.
I was either hitting that, if I wasn't hitting the gong, I was probably hitting the rubber, so.
Okay, so you're close.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Close by my standards anyway.
Yeah.
So then I got ambitious Sunday night and decided to clean my rifle. So.
Okay, that's good.
Cleaned it up, oiled it up, so we'll take it out to the range and see if the accuracy improves at all.
That's good. Yep. Kelly, how about you? What have you been up to?
Well, not a lot. I spent the past week and a half studying for work, but yeah, got a chance to clean up after the charity shoot and clean up all the stuff that was in my garage and put that stuff away. We also went out to SFRC and took out the stuff that we borrowed for the charity shoot back to them because they loaned us a bunch of stuff. They loaned us the rifle for the 3-gun shoot, which we brought back to them, and the barbecue and all kinds of different things. So I also brought them their plaque, which they were very grateful for. They thought it was lovely. And also there was a couple of other things that we brought back to them, but so I went and chatted with them but didn't buy anything this time. So, and we also built a gun cupboard downstairs as well to put all the other guns in that they're making their way over to my place. So we reinforced some doors, and yeah, it's actually working out pretty good.
When you say you built a gun cupboard, do you like you built a standalone?
Well, it was a cupboard that was already there, and then we actually reinforced it and put in some stuff that we could actually put pistols on and the rifles and that as well. So it now looks like a really well-made gun cupboard.
That's cool.
Yeah. So did that, but didn't get a chance to do anything else because, as I said, I been studying for an exam for work. So that's been taking up all my time. So okay. That's it. Nothing else. What about you, Mike?
I reloaded 50 rounds of 38 special. So I had to change everything over from 9 because that's what I've been reloading for the longest time. Mm-hmm. And really, I just wanted to load 50 of them to try the federal primer. Wait, yeah, federal primers, mm-hmm. The really soft ones I have. I also changed out my hammer spring to the 8-pound hammer spring. What I really wanted to test was to see if the lighter primer go off with the lighter spring.
Right.
So
have you had a chance to check it?
No, I haven't had a chance to get out to the range since. But I did check the trigger pull with my trigger pull scale, and now my single action is between 2.5 and 3 pounds, and my double action is about 7.5 pounds.
So significantly lighter.
It feels a lot better. Okay. It just feels smooth. It feels almost smoother, probably because it just takes less effort to pull it back.
Mm-hmm.
I had a bit of a debacle. I had ordered some speed loaders a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I ordered 4 of them. They were supposed to come up from the States. And I was hoping that they were going to get here before there's a strike or a lockout at Canada Post. And I get here. I'm all excited. I open up the packaging.
Yeah.
Supposed to get 4. I got 1.
Oh. What happened?
I don't know. So Sarah was the one who actually ordered them. So she called up. It was through Amazon. So she called up the company. And they pretty much said, oh, must have been an error on our side. We'll refund you for the 3, and you can just order them again.
Yeah, but you're going to have to wait until after the potential strike and all that.
Yeah, I know. So I ordered them just because I knew if I didn't order them, then there would be no strike, or there would be no strike for another week, and I could have gotten them on time.
Yeah.
So I figured I'll order them. That way they can get held up, and then I can feel like I did something.
Yeah. So when did you order them again?
I think on Tuesday or Wednesday last week.
Okay. Are they in the mail?
According to the shipping label has been created, but they haven't actually gotten anywhere yet. So,
okay.
I'm not hopeful that they're going to make it, but yeah. Yep, and so I signed up for an IDPA match coming up this weekend.
Where at?
I also signed up for an IDPA SO course in a few weeks. So once I do that, I'll be able to be an SO in an IDPA match, safety officer.
Cool. Where is the IDPA match?
Eganville.
Okay.
Eganville's, I can't remember, Rod and Gun Club, something like that.
Okay.
And then I also signed up for a three-gun match at in Smith Falls, my home range. And right after I signed up for it, I said to Sarah, I still haven't bought anything for shooting three-gun yet. I still need to find some shotgun shell holders.
Oh.
Do you have a shotgun for three guns?
I have my hunting shotgun, which is what I used last time, and it worked fine. The
Oh my
barrels.
goodness.
So, go ahead.
That Uzcon?
Yeah.
I am actually wanting to enter a three gun just so I can use that Uzcon.
Yeah.
Got the 10-round magazine and I think a 5-round magazine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that would get you through probably most of the three gun just there, just with that. And the
Yeah.
only real problem I have with my hunting shotgun, it's just because the barrel's so long,
Yeah.
there's a few times when I'm going in and out of port and where when I'm going to dump it into a barrel where I have to take an extra step back to get the barrel around and into the port or into the barrel. So, yeah. But yeah, so I need to figure out what I'm going to do with the shotgun shell holders. If any of the listeners out there have any suggestions on what I should do to carry my shotgun shells, they
Well,
should email us in.
yeah, do you have a belt for your IDPA?
Yeah, I have a belt. I have one magazine pouch for an AR mag. I have my pistol mag pouches. I'll probably need another AR-15 magazine pouch, but I need some way to carry my shotgun shells.
There's the quad caddies. Have you seen those? They're a little expensive, though.
Yeah, I have seen them, but I haven't really seen any available. When I kind of looked around, it seemed like most of the stuff I found was out of stock or more than I'm willing to invest into my three gun right now. Yeah.
Yeah, they're a little expensive, so.
Oh yeah, I saw some really nice stuff out there, but yeah, I don't shoot enough three gun and I'm not good enough to justify spending top tier cash on that stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Oh well.
Maybe just another bag.
All right, so guns in the news. Kelly, why don't you take story one?
Well, story one is about S223. So we had reported that it was dead in the water, and when Senator Hervé Payette retired, but it's been picked up again since after the stuff that happened in Orlando. So it's been picked up again, and basically the senator. Even though she's resigned, somebody has picked it up. I just don't know who the other senator is right now, but we just wanted to let you know that the bill itself, if you don't remember what was on it, it was firearms can't, here's a couple of things. Firearms can't be stored at a house unless it's deemed for hunting or for a collection. It creates a new category of firearms called hunting firearms. You can only use a hunting firearm when hunting, otherwise all shooting will have to be done at a range. Firearms need to be transported by a secure transportation company, aka Brinks, and it would bring back the long excuse me, the long gun registry under a new name, and it gives more power to the RCMP and the Commissioner of Firearms, and it undoes most of Bill C-42 as well. So the senator that's picked it up, it hasn't gone through second reading yet. Senator has deferred it to a later date. It was originally supposed to be read on June the 21st, but because of the fact that the senator wasn't prepared to take it forward at that time, they've deferred it to later a later date. We just don't know when that is. So, and that's that in the news.
And story number two, the Trudeau government is signing Canada on to another UN treaty, one that critics say will deliver little in the way of benefits to Canadians, but will harm our national sovereignty in years to come. Global Affairs Minister Stephane Dion quietly issued a statement on Thursday morning announcing that Canada will accede to the Arms Trade Treaty, the stated purpose of the Global Pact is to stop the flow of small arms such as rifles and pistols to terror groups organized crime, and oppressive regimes. According to Bernardo, export controls in Canada are strict and require government approval. By signing on to the UN treaty, however, he says, we are giving up the ability to control Canadian law. It is outrageous that Canada would choose to abdicate her sovereignty to the United Nations, Bernardo says. Every 6 years, a 75% majority of countries in the UN will be permitted to determine our nation's laws. It seems inconceivable that Canadian government would agree to throw our democracy under the bus. Under the treaty, a majority of countries at the UN can change the text of the treaty. Even if Canada opposes the changes, the new rules would still apply in Canada unless the government were to formally withdraw their signature. The treaty has also been criticized for the expectation that compliance costs for manufacturers and even retailers will rise, making the cost of firearms in Canada higher. Dion said in a statement that Canada is the only NATO and G7 country not to have signed on to the ATT, a statement that is both true and false at the same time. While the United States signed the treaty, they have not ratified due to lack of support in Congress, effectively making their signature meaningless. Accession to the treaty will reflect Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's commitment to multiculturalism, Dion said.
Okay, so is this the same UN treaty that we signed in regards to having firearms numbered as well with the UN number? Do you know? Or is it a different treaty?
I think it's the same, okay. Similar to it. I'm pretty sure that this treaty, it doesn't just include small arms. It also includes things like tanks and boats and rockets and big things that, you know, you really don't want your government to be shipping around to terrorist groups and questionable regimes.
So they're going to put a data stamp on them too.
Yeah, pretty much.
Everybody's going to have to look for it.
And I think that's really where the increase in cost for Canadians will come in, is now everything is going to need to be stamped a second time whenever it comes into the country. And since we don't manufacture a lot of our own firearms, we import most of them. That means that most of the firearms would go up in cost. I have no idea what the cost would be, but I imagine that.
It'd also affect anything like collectors. Firearms and that as well.
Yeah, collector value. Yeah, they're pretty much collector value. There would be, unless you had it already, it would lose all its collector value as soon as it went to get shipped somewhere.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. So tonight's main topic, we are talking about holsters. Things to look for when you're picking one out, things you might want to consider. Some stuff like the fit and comfort of the holster, the material of the holster, what style it is, how it retains the firearm itself. Left and right handed. That might sound like a silly thing, but you want to make sure you pick the right side. If your holster can accept things like lights and lasers or optics, if you want to mount any of that stuff to your firearm, how it carries on your hip, assuming that you're carrying on your hip, and just some other accessory things that might come with the holster that you might want to consider.
Right.
So, Kelly, why don't you talk a little bit about the fit and comfort? What are some things you want to look for?
Well, it's different for everybody, fit and comfort. Like, for example, females, they might want to... because our hips and our body are built differently. So when you're picking your holster, make sure that it fits your body perfectly or comfortably. And if not, then you can actually add things to it, like an offset or a drop offset too. I know that there's some females that actually have that. And yeah. What do you guys think? What about, fit and comfort for you, Mike, your IDPA and all that?
Yeah, for me, fit and comfort has mostly to do with how it attaches to my belt and what material it's made out of. I've heard a bunch of people say that they don't like paddle holsters. A paddle holster has a big paddle that goes in behind, up against your skin. But to be honest, I like that so much better.
Do you?
Yeah, I think that they fit me great. So I actually like them. I feel like they support the gun, you know, over a wider area. Mm-hmm. So it just feels more comfortable to me to wear a paddle halter. But yeah, I know there's a lot of people who don't like them. They don't like the plastic being in their pants. And
right. They don't. It's, you get hot and you get sweaty. But also the other thing about it is that people, I don't like it because I feel like it's not secure.
Okay. The one I have, it had adjustable hooks on the paddle. Mm-hmm. So you can move them up and down depending on your thickness of your width of your belt.
Right.
So
I just, yeah.
And they have hooks on them. So after you push it all the way down, mm-hmm. When you try to pull it back up, the hooks catch on the belt.
Right.
So I've actually found that, like, I hear some people say, oh, they like paddle holsters because they're easy to go on and off. Mm-hmm. I think they're easy to go on. I don't think they're easy to come off. They're a pain in the butt sometimes.
Yeah.
At least compared to something that's like, you know, something that you just thread through your belt. You can see it when you're trying to take it off, when you're pulling your belt back. But with a paddle holster, you can't see it because it's inside your pants.
Yeah, true. But I also think that you have to have something that's, when you're talking about other things, like if you're talking about a belt, you need to have a belt that is a good belt too, right? So when you attach the holster to the belt itself, you don't want a flimsy belt that's not going to support it.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit, but yeah, when having this disc, you know, right next to your skin, this plastic disc.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the comfort really also has to do with your belt too. Because if you have a poor belt, it doesn't matter how good of a holster you have. It's going to be it's going to be sagging and hanging off you, and it's going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it has to, and even for females, it has to be where your belt, where your body, your belt is on your body. I know that if I'm wearing just a regular pair of jeans, my belt sits higher and it's not as comfortable. If I'm wearing like a pair of tactical pants, it does sit lower and it's more comforting.
Oh yeah, definitely. I didn't realize how much it really affected me until last 3-gun I went to, I decided to wear shorts too. I normally always wear pants when I go shooting, just in case I have to take a knee or something like that, and just a little bit more protection. And yeah, it was uncomfortable wearing the belt with all the weight on it with my shorts on it compared to my pants I usually wear.
Yeah, you're right. So,
yeah. Okay. So another consideration would be the material of the holster. The material can really determine its holster ability. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is your ability to put the gun into the holster one-handed almost. Mm-hmm. With a lot of things like nylon or leather, they can collapse on themselves as soon as you pull the gun out,
right.
Which means if you're trying to put a gun back in there, especially if it's loaded, you know, you could have your other hand and you could have your other hand in the way trying to open it up, or just right. be trying to, like, I guess you'd have to just dig with the muzzle of your gun. That's just not safe to me. I wouldn't want to do that.
And that's why a lot of those holsters are not approved on ranges, or if you're going to the courses, they're not approved in that as well. So yeah. Uncle Mike's, you can't wear them. Sorry.
So, and that's why I think the Kydex has really taken off as the favorite material, I think, at least. Mm-hmm. It's what I see the most these days. It's really rigid.
You faded out. So with Kydex, you can actually have any gun. You can get a holster made for any gun, basically, right?
Yeah, they mold it specific to a gun.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Highlander Tactical. Good guys.
Yeah.
And shout out.
And sometimes you can fit more than one gun into a holster and have it work well. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's the exception, not the rule.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess if you have a Glock 19, it will fit inside a Glock 17 holster, but that's just because they're essentially the same frame and slide, just slightly smaller.
Correct.
Yeah.
And you can also, for example, like when we were doing the 3-gun match at the charity shoot, we had a M&P replica airsoft pistol, right? It fit into the M&P holster.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a little bit smaller, but still. Yeah. So you
can it. It'd be good enough for practicing at home.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Well.
Yep. Another material to consider, pretty popular, is leather. I think it's starting to fade as Kydex takes over. But and it that you can get them in two styles. You can get them in the generic kind of one size fits most, or you can get them in a specific gun, I guess, molded into it almost. They do require a break-in period to allow the leather to expand a little bit to fit your gun properly. After a long time, they will start to collapse.
Victim.
Yeah. And I think they're more popular, I think, for concealed carry and situations like that where the holster is right against your skin.
Yeah.
Just a little bit more comfortable.
What about you, George? You have leather ones, don't you?
Yeah, I've got my cowboy rig, right? I don't got much to add to this topic because I shoot cowboy. I don't, that's the only holsters I have, and there's no real retention. Like
All right.
they're fit, they're molded to fit snug on your pistols, but other than that, there's no other form of retention other than just the snug fit.
Right. But
When
you're required. Sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say, when you got them, did you have to specify what length your barrel was?
Yes.
Yeah,
Yeah,
okay.
I had to, the model and then the length of the barrel, because
Okay.
that would dictate how long the holster would be. And then, like, after that, it's just a matter of getting fancy. Like, on my strong hand side, I have loops on the holster to hold extra rounds, and then on the belt portion, some extra rounds or loops for extra rounds there too.
Okay. Is your belt and holster kind of one piece?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just know with Sarah, her cowboy rig, like you wouldn't thread it through any loops. You just wrap it around you, cinch it tight, and you're off to the races, as opposed to other gun belts where you actually put on like a normal belt.
Oh
And
yeah,
then,
this has its own belt.
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it just goes over top of my pants, and like you said, just snug it tight and away you go.
Okay.
And you're required to have that for cowboy action anyways, right? You're supposed to have your holsters.
Yeah, you're supposed to, but if a newbie shows up and doesn't have holsters and nobody has any extras to lend them, they will let you shoot off the table, but
Okay.
you're not going to last very long doing that. Like, that's the big exception as opposed to the rule.
Yeah.
Like, they try to be accommodating. When I first started, I didn't have holsters the first year I shot, so I always emailed whoever was running the match and asked if you knew anyone that could bring an extra set. And I always got, yeah, we'll find you something. If not, you can shoot off the table.
Okay.
They figure if you're that new and you don't even have holsters, you're not going to be a threat to winning the match.
No.
Didn't you say a couple weeks ago you were going to a match?
Yeah, I end up not making it out to it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I end up waking up with a migraine, so that kind of put an end to the day.
Oh, that's too bad. So another materials that you find that are kind of common, I think they're kind of gaining in popularity, is the combination leather slash kydex. They're supposed to kind of provide the best of both worlds, especially for things like concealed carry, because you have the leather side will be on the inside next to your body, and the kydex is on the outside. So the kydex kind of keeps it from opening up, or sorry, keeps it from collapsing. It also provides some sort of retention, just like the friction on the trigger guard. And it still requires break-in period, but it's just a lot more comfortable to put up against your skin.
Okay.
Yeah. And then last material is kind of just your nylon, your Uncle Mike's. I pretty much wouldn't recommend this for anything unless you needed to buy a $10 holster just to put your gun in for walking around the range, but I'd never put a loaded gun into one of those or trust it to do anything more than just kind of hold it there.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not gonna help you with nothing.
Yeah. No, and like I said, to me, it's the only purpose I could ever see doing that is if you had a lot of handguns and just say you're not really shooting a lot of them in competition, but you just need them. Like at my range, they encourage you to use a holster for when you're going down to change targets. And they encourage you to get a proper holster for each one. But they said, if you have 10 guns and you only use two of them for competition, instead of spending $80 on good Kydex holsters for every one of them, buy one of those cheap ones, and it's literally just for when your gun's empty, you can put it in there, walk down, change your target, walk back, take it out, and then load it and shoot it, not from the holster.
Can I get your range to talk to my range?
My range is awesome. They want you to, like, right from the beginning, before, I think when I had to do my ATT course to bring my handguns to the range, they said they want you to have a holster. Because they recognize that if this, because they don't like you leaving guns on the firing range when you go down to change your targets. So they realize that a holster is the best and safest way to do it.
Well, yeah, not only that, like, if your gun is empty and it's on your hip, there's no other, no safer place. If I have to go use the washroom, I got to pack up all my gear and my gun and lock it all back up, put it in my trunk just so I can go to the washroom. Like, it's simple little things like that that make this whole anti-holster garbage asinine.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many reasons that it makes sense to be able to just holster up, go down, change targets, holster up, run to the bathroom.
Yeah.
You're not leaving guns lying around, especially a pistol. Mm-hmm. Like, how easy would it be for somebody to walk by under their jacket, keep on walking? You know, everyone's downrange.
Oh, like, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And I think that's where my range came up with those rules, just because they wanted to avoid that situation in particular.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We get the same rules. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you're picking out your holster, there's a lot of different styles of holsters you can get. The most common for being in Canada and for competition and range use is your standard outside the waistband, OWB holster. Uh-huh. But just for the information for other people, there are a lot of other styles. Most of them tend to pertain more to conceal carry, but they're inside the waistband, appendix, cross draw, uh-huh, drop leg, shoulder holsters, ankle holsters, and belly bands.
Shebangs!
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Shebangs.
Yeah, that's the bra one?
That's the bra one.
That's the bra one, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but most, I know my range, they don't allow any sort of cross draw or shoulder holsters. And the big part for that is because, well, first of all, when your gun, if you have a loaded gun in the holster, you're pointing a loaded gun at everyone around you every time you turn around. And when you go to draw the gun, you generally are sweeping 180 degrees or even just 90, everyone to your left, just say. So, yeah. A lot of ranges don't allow those types of holsters.
No. Most here don't.
No. Yeah. I think, yeah. I know in IDPA, because it's supposed to be based on concealed carry, you are allowed to use inside the waistband holsters. I don't know if they allow an appendix, but I know, but they don't allow any other, you know, cross draw or ankle or belly band. They don't allow any of that, but they will allow inside the waistband. But, yeah. And, yep. So another thing to consider when you're looking at your holsters is the retention. Level 1, 2, and 3. That's what you'll hear a lot of. And I was super confused by this. So I went on to Safari Land.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I went out to Safari Land, and they have a whole page just dedicated to explaining what this essentially means.
Right.
So most of your standard holsters are, I guess, a level 0 or level nothing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Essentially meaning that there's no actual retention on it beyond maybe some friction.
Mm-hmm.
So a level 1 holster essentially means that you can pull and wiggle and twist the gun and a holster, and it won't come out. If it won't come out, so if you have a thumb snap or something like that, it's without activating the thumb snap, or if you have like a push button, like a Serpa holster, and like without activating that, just by pulling on the gun, if it doesn't come out, then it's considered a level 1. Level 2 means that you've disabled the first level of retention. So if it was like a thumb snap, that would mean disengaging the thumb snap.
Uh-huh.
And if at that point in time, essentially the person does the first test, they try and pull on the hand, like the grip, and if it doesn't come out, then it's considered level 2.
Right.
And essentially that keeps going on. So level three is, you know, if it passed level two, you disengage the next level of retention. And if it still passes to level one, then it's level three.
Right. So, yeah, the one that I have, I think it's a level two, or maybe a level three, because you actually have to push a button in order to actually release the gun. Yeah. Now, there's another one that we have as well that has a guard that you put up for the thumb button as well. I believe that's a level three. So,
yeah,
the
little shield. I think I heard that.
Yeah, it's a shield.
Yeah, so that it's supposed to be if someone's in front of you and trying to reach for the gun and trying to press the button to pull it out, they can't get to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Gets in it. So it's just different degrees of safety in that as well. And you have to have different degrees of retention for the different things that you do as well.
Yep. I know for at least IDPA, you don't have to have a level one, but it needs to be, I think they say you have to be able to go through your day-to-day life without your firearm being able to fall out.
Yeah. So bend over and it can't fall out.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And my test, my personal test to figure out how tight I like, because I have the adjustable ones, the way I like to set them up is I'll put the gun inside the holster and flip it upside down. And if the gun stays inside the holster, then I figure it's tight enough.
Mm. Is that always pointed down range?
Empty. Gun is empty. Yes, I should clarify that. An empty gun in the holster. Yeah, and flip it upside down, and I just see, you know, will it fall out? Sometimes it creeps a little bit, but then it will stop.
Right.
And that's kind of been my judgment of what is tight enough.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, there's certain holsters, like the Sherpa one that has the button that's in the middle, right?
Yeah.
Those ones are getting a little bit of bad press or poo-pooed because of the fact that of where the placement of the finger is. And some people think that it can go right onto the trigger. So a lot of places will not allow those.
Yeah.
Or a lot of courses. So.
Yeah, I've heard of that too. I've used one of those once way back when Sarah and I first did a basic pistol course. Mm-hmm. And I was actually borrowing the guy's gun. And he had, it wasn't a Sherpa, but it was the same idea. It had the button there.
Right in the middle.
Yeah. And he even pointed out that, you know, at least on that holster, if you push the button and as you're pulling it out, even if your hand slipped and slammed against the side of the frame, it's going to hit the frame. It's not going to hit the trigger.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay.
I guess if that's the way you want to go, if you would rather have that type of retention, you should just be aware of where that button is and where your finger will end up as you draw the pistol out.
Right. I just know that example you just said you went on a pistol course. I know that some courses won't let you have them, so check that out before you actually go to the course. Make sure that you have the right type of holster and the right type of retention. What do you have anything that's keeping your guns in the holster, George? Like, do you have like a snap or anything?
No, SAS official, I'm using air quotes.
Okay.
Official SAS rules are that there has to be a strap that goes over the hammer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever seen that on anyone's holster.
Really?
My holsters don't have it.
Huh.
Sarah's holsters have them. And it wasn't until recently we just thought that the string was just there for looks. We didn't even know what it was there for until we saw someone else doing it.
Well, maybe I should look a little closer at mine.
Yeah, we thought our
maybe it is there and it just looks decorative.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much what happened to us. We just thought it was decorative until we saw someone else actually use it to hold their guns in, and oh, that's what that's for.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I just didn't know if you had anything for retention at all.
Yeah.
No, they just it's a snug fit, and that's your retention.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Yep. So you can find a whole pile of other different types of retentions out there. Like you said, like a thumb strap, a strap like George had on his. A strap like George had wouldn't be great for drawing quickly with, but there are some other options like the thumb strap. There's push buttons. There's things I know Safariland has, I think they call it the ALS, something locking system.
Mm-hmm.
I know they have the GLS now, the grip locking system, so it's right where your hand will hit the grip, and that's what will unlock it. Rotating hoods, things like that. And really, if you're looking for something for retention, you just kind of have to try them all out and see what you think you like, what feels good for you,
mm-hmm.
what feels natural.
But also, if you're planning to do something, make sure you have the right level. So you don't have to buy a new gun. Or not new holster.
A new holster. Yeah, that's true.
You can go buy a new gun, too.
Yeah. this gun doesn't work for my holster. I need a new gun.
if I can add my 5 cents here. The Sherpas, you guys were just talking about the Sherpas.
Yeah.
Rick actually addressed those in his course and was talking.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
And if you push the button and you pull straight up, your finger is actually going to be where it should be, up along the side of the slide. And when I open carried in Ohio, I open carried with, it was a Sherpa that Red had given me. And I never found it to be a problem at all. Now, mind you, I never had to draw it under stress, but
yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if it's just, you know, people that are just inexperienced trying to go beyond their abilities and having a negligent discharge and, oh, it's not my fault, it's the holsters.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of what it is.
Yeah, because Rick didn't seem to really be really down on them a whole lot. And I've used that, and I don't know what the holster I used for the fast course was. It was outside the waistband Kaida. And so those are the only two I've ever used. That's the only experience I've ever had with those kind of holsters. But the Sherpa, I never once felt the urge to have my finger near the trigger. And you just push the button and you just pull the gun straight up, and your finger's right there along the slide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you don't move your finger, and you just pull straight up. Your finger's right where it should be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I seem to remember Rick even saying that he demonstrated how he doesn't push the button with the end of his finger. He pushes it with the, how do I want to describe this, with the finger already laying down across the holster.
Yeah.
I think he pointed out that is enough pressure to activate it. But it, just in case if you were to slip your finger, if your finger's straight, it's less likely to do something than if your finger is curled and pressing in.
Right.
Yeah. But I think that to me would just be a training thing that you'd have to overcome.
Yeah.
And
you know, the moment you're in a high stress situation, all the calm, you know, armchair quarterbacking goes out the window, right?
Yeah.
So I do appreciate and understand that as well. But yeah, that was my nickel. We don't have pennies in Canada anymore, so a nickel's what you get.
All right. So another thing you can look at when you're looking at carrying a gun is the carry height. I think most people would reference this to the front, where the front strap of the pistol ended up relative to your belt. That's kind of, I think, almost like a standard way of determining how high a pistol rides. I have never had a problem with a gun riding too high. Kelly,
yeah. But
have
you're
you?
Not a female.
Yeah, I was going to say, have you?
Yes. Again, it's about going back to where your pants, what type of pants you're wearing, the loops and the belts and all that. So you can, a lot of women get the drop or offset as well, just because we need a little bit. We need it to ride a little lower, so.
Yeah, and I remember Sarah saying that it was uncomfortable for her.
Yes, and Sarah's one of them.
Yeah, I remember her saying that she had a lot of difficulties with drawing the gun when it was on her belt. It was just too high, too uncomfortable.
Well, your arm's at a weird angle, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, she...
Oh, that's gotta be... It's going to be digging into your hips by that point, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I know, like, when I wear it on my hip, because being a guy, my pants are down lower. It's it's already up pretty high, I think. Mm-hmm. I can draw it and everything else, so my pants were, if I was wearing my pants higher, I can definitely understand how that would be a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
Or the ribs, for that
matter. Yeah, and some women wear their, you know, wear their belts around their armpits.
That's why you got the flashbang holster,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's why you have the flashbang. Is at that point, yes, it's the shebang is also the belly band. So, anyways.
Yep. So, yeah, so the drop offset is one of those accessories that you can find for a holster. Some other things that some people might like. I've seen these. I'm trying to remember what brand they are. They essentially sell the how you attach it to you, like your belt clip or your paddle. They sell that as one piece. And then all their holsters have like, I think, almost like three screw heads sticking out. And you kind of lock it into the different attachments.
Well, there's quick disconnects. So that's what I have on mine. So you can just change out your whichever holster it is. Yeah. So instead of actually changing the holster itself, you're just changing the part, the holster that has the piece that has the gun in it. So
yeah.
You're putting everything else on your belt already. So, so if you're using different, you're using different pistols, you just have to choose, you know, switch it out.
Yeah. And that seems like that'd be a real convenient thing for a day at the range.
Yeah, it is.
You're just going through different stuff. Yep.
Yeah.
And I know they also, I think they can also have different attachments, so you can get like a thigh holster, or I think you can even get ones that would mount to like a Molly vest or something like that, if that's what you want to do with it.
Right. Yep.
Just to give you a lot of different options.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, just something to consider when you're purchasing one. Other thing to consider when you're purchasing would be really what you want it for. Mm-hmm. Like, do you want it for competition, or are you down in the States and you're using it for concealed carry, or just general range usually? Like I said, if you, all you're going to do is put it in your holster to walk up, change your target, walk back and take it out and shoot it off the bench, then you don't necessarily need a model-specific holster.
No.
I was going to say, what about the cant? Have you ever played with the cant on your holster?
No. I haven't, but other people have, I know. And, what do you think?
I personally like it straight up and down.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, I was just going to say, how about we explain what the cant is to
those
people such as myself? I figured it out, but.
Okay, so the cant is, think of if your gun's in your holster and your barrel's pointing straight down. The cant would imply that you can turn it so either your barrel starts pointing further back, and that kind of lifts the grip a little bit further away from your belt. If you were doing something like if you're carrying your gun like almost around in your back, almost like smaller back, you might want on more of a cant so that your hand will naturally grab it on more of an angle. You can also cant them, I guess, barrel forward, but I've never really understood why anyone would want to do that unless you're doing, I guess, like a cross draw. But I've never played with that. I've always preferred it just to be straight up and down. I actually find it uncomfortable if it's on any kind of a cant.
Yeah, it just depends on what you're doing with it, too. But I like mine straight up and down.
Yeah.
Yep. It's just easier.
Yeah.
And then I also know that some people have, as I said, put an offset onto it, their holsters as well, and the cant on it is put it right into their leg, basically.
Sorry, say it again.
So if you actually put a on your holster itself, if you put an offset holster on, right?
Yeah.
So you're basically directing the your firearm into your leg. So.
Okay, almost like so the grip is out and the barrel's pointing in.
Correct. So, okay. And you don't really want that, so.
No.
No. So, yeah.
Yep.
All right. So,
what are some other things you might look for?
Color. Just kidding.
Gotta be pretty.
I know if Wanda was on, she'd be shouting pink.
There are pink ones.
Yeah, available, I know Sarah had, I think she had wandered by the Highlander tactical guy, and she saw that he has purple holsters, so.
Yeah, he has pretty much any color that you can think of.
Yeah, so yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if one of those floated around here sometime soon.
if the cliche gets somebody shooting, then I'm all for the cliche. So if a girl gets excited over an accessory in pink, then pink it up. I don't care. Seems to be pink and purple seem to be the two main colors for women right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
Have you guys got one of the drop leg holsters at all?
No.
No?
No.
No. If you're going to get a holster, you got to get a drop leg. you got to go Mall Ninja. Get all Mall Ninja. We went into Bullseye to buy ammo, Wanda and I did, on Sunday. And I asked them if they carry bayonet lugs. And she's like, you're not putting a bayonet lug on my Uzcon. I'm like, yes, I am, dear. She's not painting it pink. I said, and it will have a pink bayonet lug. I have to buy a pink bayonet lug. And for just no other reason, just because I can.
Yeah.
So drop leg holster falls into that same category. I can't think of a practical, useful need for a drop leg holster other than it's Super Mall Ninja.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah.
And that's okay.
Yep. So some other considerations might be your adjustability on your retention. So, like, oh, my holsters, they just are friction fit around the trigger guard.
Yep.
So it's always good to have adjustability so you can loosen them up or tighten them up. Like, when I first got my revolver holster, and I put my revolver in there, and at first I thought my revolver didn't fit. They had cranked the adjustment so tight that it couldn't even fit in the holster.
Oh.
So, things like that, they're always good to look for. And also, if you are mounting it to a belt, it's good to have adjustability on your belt. So you might have a 1-inch belt this week, but you might have a 2-inch belt next week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always nice to be able to not have to buy a new holster just because you bought a new belt.
True.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I also threw in there gripability in the holster. And what I mean by that is there are some holsters that I have seen and used that when I try to grip the pistol in the holster, it just is uncomfortable. Whether it's because my hand can't get in the right spot. I've had actually on the one that I have now, there was I guess like a seam where like the molding was pressed together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It had that sharp plastic thing and it had actually cut my finger on it, so I had to grind that down. Just things like that. I guess that kind of falls under comfort.
Yeah.
But
yeah, if you're wearing a holster and you're wearing it around the range, and it's a range that you can wear it around all day, right?
Yeah.
Should be comfortable to wear.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Yep. And one thing I didn't really talk about, and it's mostly because I have no idea about it, or what's the holster that Trevor uses? The one where it holds on by, like, the barrel and the trigger guard, the end of the barrel and the trigger guard.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what the name of that is.
A speed rig or...
Yeah.
Speed holster. Yeah. I've never used one of those, and in IDPA, we're not allowed to use them, so I've never really seen one in action. But I guess that would fall under the, if you want to go competition and you want to buy the best gear to go as fast as you can, that's something else you'd have to consider, too.
Right.
Yep. And just a couple of notes. Pretty much everything we've said tonight also applies to your mag pouches. When it comes to materials and being able to stick your mag pouch in there and needing some way of retaining it. Most mag pouches are just retained by friction, I think, anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just looked it up on Safari Land. The model 14, the open class competition holster. So that's the type of holster that we're talking about. The speed holster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of specially designed for,
mm-hmm.
I think, nothing else other than competition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you do buy a holster, make sure you practice with it at home unloaded. Make sure the gun is unloaded. And make sure you practice with it, because if you've never drawn from a holster, it can be kind of a different thing, a new thing. And it's always good to practice with it at home before you take it to the range and put live rounds in there. Anything else on holsters, anyone?
Nope, I'm good.
Nope. All right, awesome. All right, so on to events. Kelly, why don't you take event number one?
So event number one is Saturday, July 16th. Lance Shooting Supplies will be hosting a fundraising shoot at Silverdale Gun Club for Make-A-Wish. So it's a great charity. You guys should go out and support it. They'll have guns for you to use from a 22 long rifle to the 50 BMG. Woohoo! With qualified instructors on hand, no firearm licenses required for you guys to attend. Gun draws, 50-50 raffles, as well as a firebird shoot by Lance Shooting Supplies. Don't know what that means. Grand Power Distribution is also donating a 9mm pistol to be won as well. And they're currently accepting donations and guns for the prize table. If you wish to donate, or if you actually want to donate any products or volunteer your time, you can actually email them at gunrangeforyou@yahoo.ca.
Yeah. I think the Firebird shoot, those are those little, I think they're like stick-on targets that explode when you hit them.
Oh, okay.
I think those are Firebird.
Let me look.
Yep. Event number two is the Barry Gun Club 4th Annual Ladies Day, Sunday, October 4th from 12 to 5. It's a popular event that's been growing over the years. It's raised over $15,000 and has been attended by over thousands. Almost all participants keep coming back year after year. They welcome ladies to come out for the fun-filled day. There's no experience necessary, and no firearms license is required, as you'll be supervised by one of our safety instructors. This year, there will be a $20 registration fee, with all proceeds going to the Canadian Breast Cancer Foundation. There will be plenty of safety instructions to help ladies shoot a variety of pistols, rifles, and shotguns. There's going to be cowboy action and skeet and trap there as well. This year, there offering many gift prizes and plenty of corporate sponsors, including Cabela's, Glock, Winchester, CSSA, Elwood Epps, just name a few. If anyone wants to try a larger caliber firearm for multiple turns, we'll be asking for a small donation of $5. There'll be many gifts and gift baskets to raffle off as well, with all proceeds being donated to the Canadian Breast Cancer Foundation. There's also going to be a barbecue for a nominal fee. Any cash, checks, or credit card donations will receive a cash deductible receipt from the Canadian Breast Cancer Foundation. For registration or more information, please contact Susan Rattel at susanrattel@barrygunclub.org, S-U-S-A-N dot R-A-T-E-L-L-E at barrygunclub.org.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Shout out to Susan.
Yeah.
Okay, so event number three is Aztec Armory Algonquin Cup 2016. It's a level 2 IDPA match at the Eagle Lake Gun Club in Sund Ridge, Ontario. It will be on September 18th, and for more information, please visit the algonquincup.ca group. So.
Yep. All right, on to listener email. First email is from John. This may be a little bit of a silly question, But as we were doing a show for the new shooter, I figured I'd get an opinion from you all. I recently received a new handgun case, and by the letter of the law, it is fine. It's a tan cloth case with a zipper on it that has the loops for a lock. The only thing that gets me is the loops on the zipper leave me with almost nothing outside of a luggage-sized lock to put on it. As far as its durability, I could, if I had to, get into it with my pocket knife, about as easy as the plastic gun case I have been using for transport. Now, I'm not asking for legal advice, just for your opinion on is that little lock too small or is it just fine? And it's just a little paranoia on my part. Did the RCMP and police actually give a rip about the toughness of the lock, or just that there is one? John.
He's abiding by the law if the lock is on it.
Yeah, I would say a lock is a lock is a lock, pretty much. Yep. Like, there's nothing... They don't specify any size of lock. I actually use small locks on mine because that's all that will fit on my gun case.
Yep.
Yep.
That's what a lot of people do. And, you know, trigger lock it with a cable or with a trigger lock, and you're good to go.
Yep, sounds good.
What's your opinion on that, Georgie Porgie?
Yeah, it's a lock. A lock is a lock, right? It doesn't. There's no guidelines as to the strength of a lock. When we started the show back up, we had a similar question about what's considered a safe. And I think Brian had found some case law that determined that those basic, like, basically what I have, a steel cabinet that you get from Canadian Tire is considered a safe. So, you know, if it locks and you can't open it with your fingers, it's a lock.
Yeah.
There's nothing, to the best of my knowledge. Now, we're not lawyers. We're not experts. Or never to be humble opinion. But yeah, I would think the same way.
Yeah.
I've seen people transport their pistols in soft cover cases. You know,
yeah, they do.
A knife and, you know, there you go. You're inside it, but it's closed and it's locked and it's a case, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of, are you going to get a cop that might decide to be a bit of an ass and make a thing out of it? Yeah. Yes, sir. No, sir. How may I help you, sir? Goes a long way to making those types of things not happen, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to kind of play it by ear. You may get a cop that's having a bad day and decide to take issue with it, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of the problem with our system, right? You know, well, we'll just throw charges and let them figure it out in court. Who cares, right?
Yeah. Yep. All right, Kelly, why don't you take email number two?
So once again, great podcast, everyone. I have a question for you all that I'm having trouble with. Hopefully, you'll be able to answer for a fairly new shooter. This question is in regards to the legal, more legal questions, legal transportation of the Henry AR. 7. If you are unfamiliar with the firearm in question, it disassembles into the stock. Because it disassembled, do you still require a trigger lock or a lock case to transport? Thank you all for the great podcast, Mike. So we were talking about this beforehand. It's one of the, so it's the, if you guys don't know what it is, it's the one that actually you can take apart and it goes into the stock. You can put the barrel and everything into the stock. It's a cute little rifle, actually, isn't it? But yeah, it's non-restricted and, it needs to be unloaded. And obviously it'll be unloaded if you putting everything into the stock anyways. But yeah, you don't need a trigger lock on it because, according to the national, firearms laws, it doesn't need, because it's non-restricted, you don't have to do that. But it's always a good idea to put it in a case anyways, you know.
Yeah, as long as you stay in transport. As soon as you stop right. And it becomes in storage, then it's a different story.
That is correct, as long as it's being transported.
Yeah, so if this person wanted to take it on their canoe trip with them
right.
or something like that, pretty much as soon as they get in their canoe, they're pretty much transporting it the whole time.
Right.
They're safe.
Right.
Yep.
Don't tip over. We were talking about the fact that it does flip, but it's not a great idea.
No. And unfortunately, I think you have to take it apart to be able to put a trigger lock on it. Like, you'd have to take it out of the buttstock. You wouldn't be able to collapse it down with the trigger lock in it.
No, you're not able to.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's another way of locking it and being able to store it at the same time.
No. But if you wanted to put it into a case, you can actually put it into a backpack that's locked.
Oh, yeah, that would work too.
Yeah, that way you can carry it around.
Yep.
Yeah, but it doesn't need a trigger lock because it's non-restricted and as long as it's in transport.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if you want to send us any feedback, questions, or comments, you can send them to host@newshootercanada.ca or our Facebook page, or you can go to the comment section on our website at newshootercanada.ca.
Mm-hmm.
iTunes, I think I checked earlier today, I didn't see any.
Mm.
Yep. And I found out how to check the Stitcher.
Oh, did you?
There are reviews. Yes, I figured out how to do it. So if you're out there and you're using Stitcher, please leave us a review. Unfortunately, we don't have any yet. So hopefully next week we'll have some reviews on Stitcher.
Facebook likes? Do you know where we're at?
I have 859.
Oh, okay.
Then there you go.
Almost at 900.
Yep, almost made it to the 900.
Okay.
Closing comments. I've been asked by Thomas to make an announcement on his behalf. He's decided to take a break from the show. He needs just some personal time. And I told him his spot's always here waiting for him. So he just wanted me to pass that on to the listeners and thank them for all their feedback and a great year and a half.
Okay.
All right.
Kelly?
And I basically have the same message for personal reasons as well. I'm just taking a break from the show as well. Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you to George, Thomas, and Mike as well for everything. Yeah, I have taken on some new roles with the Canadian Coalition for Firearms Rights, and I know that my Sundays will be filled up, and yeah, and also with work and that as well. So I didn't really think it was all that fair that I wouldn't be here on Sundays. So I thought I should take a step away as well. But I did want to say thank you to you guys for everything and that. So thank you.
Yeah.
Both you and Thomas will be sorely missed for sure.
Yeah.
You'll be both great missed. You are great contributors to the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I hope Thomas will come back as well, because he's a wealth of knowledge for this show. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know who's going to keep us wrangled in order now.
I think that falls on Mike now.
I know. The stress is already piling up.
Oh, you'll be great. You actually all will be great.
Thank you very much.
It's a wonderful show. And, yeah. You guys will be great. You have great guests. You have great topics. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and of course, I'm back too, right? So the greatness just keeps coming.
Well, that's exactly it. So.
Oh, hold on. I gotta see if I can fit my head through this door.
Well, I think actually it's wonderful that you've been able to make it so that it doesn't matter where you are and you're on the road, you're able to actually call in for the show. So it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. The listeners may get the occasional road noise or trucker noise, but at least they'll be able to make it now.
Yeah. Kind of like tonight. You can do the traveling podcast. Shout outs. Is that where we're at?
Yeah, that's where we're at. If you have shout outs, you can go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to give a shout out to all you guys. Thank you for everything.
George, you have any shout outs?
Yeah, I'm going to give my shout out to both Thomas. I've always given Thomas props for lighting the fire under my butt and getting the show back up and running. Mm-hmm. And Ellie brought a dynamic to the show that I think has really kind of set a standard for future podcasts. And that's my shout-out. It's to Thomas and Kelly for being awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, my shout-out is pretty much the same. I mean, you two are going to be missed so much. Don't be a stranger.
Nah, and you guys know if you guys need anything.
Yeah.
Just drop me a message. Anything.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. That really means a lot to us, and we really appreciate everything that you've done for the show. You've really, like George said, you really brought it to a whole nother level.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. It's all you guys. Serious.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so.
One last time, George.
Until next week, keep your barrels pointed downrange and smoking. And for Thomas, take a kid shooting.
Awesome. And keep it classy.
Time spent at the range is time spent with family. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Night. And goodbye.
I really like 22 Mag.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or feedback you may have, or if you just want to call shenanigans. You can contact us at host@newshootercanada.ca or through our Facebook page.
The way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale until I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.